All right.
You know, Mark, one thing about it, Mike, where he lives, it's just like me. Eddie Chumney told me, and this is a quote, I asked him, where did I need to go when the tribulation started? He said, you don't need to go anywhere. You're already out in the wilderness.
There you go. Where am I going to bug out to? I live in the middle of nowhere, Oklahoma.
I left middle of nowhere, Oklahoma to go to middle of nowhere, Kansas. So you tell me which one of those is worse. Yeah.
He's farther out.
Kansas does kind of specialize in nowhere.
I like it. Mike, it's so good to hear your voice, my friend. We just met and had lunch not but a couple of months ago.
Let me tell you, brother, think about it.
I know. I just wish it was closer that we could do this, but it always makes good memories, my friend. So let me tell you, man, we so enjoyed Daniel and Chris Knight this afternoon. Their hearts are so pure. Daniel is so his integrity with the Lord is just so intact, and I do appreciate your integrity in raising him. You and Kathy have done a great job. Thank you, Mark.
It was I've watched these two young men, well, Daniel for a long time, but now with Chris, as they started the radio program about a year ago, and Daniel, because of some other obligations right now, has had to back off of the radio program. But to go back and listen to them a year ago, and then to listen to them now, it was an amazing thing. And Chris Knight is—he's a very dear brother. And I love that man. Spent Sukkot with him, and he's just a great guy all around. And of course, I'm just a little bit partial to Daniel. So,
I tell you, Chris's name pops up everywhere.
It is.
I mean, everywhere. That guy is going to be somebody to be reckoned with. He is going to be one of the ones that is an up and coming. You're going to hear his name all over the place.
Yeah.
That's all there is to it. He's great. So yeah. You're leaving for Israel here Sunday, right?
Bezrat Hashem, God willing. Yes, this will be my 24th trip to the land. And, you know, talk about humbling. Yes. I do not in any way feel that I deserve this, but I went the first time in 98, and this time, hey, we got something that we get kind of a pattern going on, by the way, is Rico will be following me tonight, and then Rico will be following me into the land next week. We're leaving on Sunday. We'll be there for 2 weeks, and I think Rico comes in about the 7th or 8th. And so I applaud anyone who is taking groups to Israel right now. Very difficult time. We'll be talking about that a little bit later, Owen. But yes, and this is a very special trip. This time we have some very good friends that have never been to Israel. Out of the 38 people that are going, probably over half are first-timers. And we also have my wife's able to go with me on this trip, so looking forward to it. And just to let people know, as we begin here, one of the things that I've done, this is going back many, many years, is that we take camera with us, we take video camera, and so every day that we can, I'm not going to say every day because you just don't know what's going to happen. But normally, every day, we will take photos of the land as we're on the tour. We'll do video. We have some incredible interviews that are set up, people coming in to speak to the group. And we'll be posting that on my website. And so if people would like to go to joinedtohashem.org and they can sign up for our newsletter, you get a brief newsletter that says, check the website, pictures are up, and people can follow us through their land.
I love it. That's great. James and Gail, how many times you been to Israel so far? They go quite often.
Our first time there was in 1998 as well.
Oh, wow.
And we went there for 3 weeks at that time. It was absolutely off the chart. We've been there about 9 times.
Okay.
And
when were you there in 98? What time of year?
May.
May.
Yeah.
Hey, we probably passed each other.
I thought I recognized
every
you.
Every time we see you, we say, I know that face.
Yeah, I know. I went on a pastor's fam trip, though, which means we were 5 days on the ground, and at the end you get a T-shirt that says, I ran where Yeshua walked.
We actually took our own tour, though. We did it ourselves. I mean, from the first time we went until every time except one, we never went on a tour, and we just allowed we just walked, rented cars, and we wanted to connect with the land and the people, and we have had such an amazing time there. Actually, our very dear friends are there right now. And do you ever go up to Itamar when you go there?
Yes, of course. I'll be going and spending a little time. Actually, we will not be able to see Moshe and Leah this time. They are going to be
in the States.
Yeah, I think so. But then now I think they were going to be there the day after or something, or it just did not work out. But we'll be up in Harbor Kai, the Mount of Blessing. We'll be up to Itamar because I love their goat yogurt. And various places that will be up there. We'll go to Shiloh, of course. And biblical tour. We don't do the Catholic churches. If somebody wants to see a Catholic church, there's probably one in Oklahoma City somewhere. But we try to do a very biblical tour. And the name of our tour actually is Connect to Israel, the God, the people, and the land. Mm. And it is with my very dear friend. Some of you may know him. He's our tour guide, Anouk Young. Anouk is a wonderful friend that the Father just put us together just over a year ago, really. And he is one that has been looking at the scriptures of Ezekiel 37 for many years.
Yes.
And he decided, hey, wait a minute. It wasn't just the Jews that came out of Egypt. Mm. It wasn't just the Jews that crossed into the Promised Land. It was a family called Israel.
Yes.
And so he has been reaching out to people like us and trying to figure out what to do with us. And we're trying to figure out what to do with him. And that's okay, because we're doing something that hasn't been done in 1700 years. That's and that right. is talking to one another instead of talking at one another.
Exactly.
Glad to hear that you're glad to hear that you're touring again and not grape plucking.
Yeah, I was up there a couple of years in Berkah and Shiloh and various places, and really enjoyed my time. I've had to take a different direction now. I'll let that just kind of lay on the table, but I really feel like the Father is leading us back to taking trips to Israel. I was there a lot during the Intifada. The last Intifada. The one that happened, I don't know if probably most people know this, but in Yom Teruah of the year 2000, Ariel Sharon walked up on the Temple Mount and made a statement in that day that everything that was being said was a lie. The Jews would not be able to pray on the Temple Mount. And the rest of the story, as Paul Harvey would say, is that when Ariel Sharon walked up on the Temple Mount, he opened the scriptures, the Tanakh, and in Hebrew read the whole chapter of Ezekiel chapter 37. Wow. The vision of the Valley of Dry Bones and the two sticks of Israel coming back together. And that is what brought forth the Intifada. Well, today we're seeing, right before our eyes, we're seeing those two sticks coming together. Yes. And you can see what's happening spiritually around us.
Yes.
Right. I was up on that same Temple Mount 10 days before he was up there.
Mm-hmm.
We had just left, and then we got the news of what he did when he went up. Mike, it's all yours, brother. You got about 45 minutes, and then we're going to bring Rico in. So it's all yours, my friend.
Very good. And you have a song that's going to be queued up here in a little bit for us, right?
And whenever I'm listening, you tell me when you're ready, brother.
Okay, will do. Well, folks, like we've been talking about, in just a few hours, I've been frantically running around this week trying to get everything ready for Israel, and it's been such a blessing to be able to kind of calm down today and listen to various worship music, to listen to Don and Maureen. I have not connected with them in years. They're they're wonderful, wonderful people. And I was very calm until I listened to Paul just a little while ago. So we're going to take it down a notch and get you ready for Rico in just a little while. But we are going to talk about one of my favorite subjects, and that is the land of Israel. There's a lot of confusion I'm finding out in this Hebrew roots, messianic, whatever, movement, group, whatever we want to call it, and that is regarding the land of Israel. I've been around what I never imagined a few years ago that I would see, is I've been running into anti-Semitism in the messianic movement. I had somebody at a conference one time that's not too long ago that said, well, I know that God had his name in Israel at one time, but it's evident that he took it away from there, and I don't know if he'll ever return it. Well, I can tell you that his name was, is, and forever will be in Israel. You know, when Messiah returns, and that's what we're all looking forward to these days. Can you imagine him getting about halfway down? You know, the scripture says in the book of Acts that the angels, the messengers come to the disciples as they've just seen Yeshua going up in the clouds. And the angels say to the disciples, this same Yeshua who you've seen taken up into the heavens will so come in like manner. Well, if he's going to come in like manner, he's also going to come to the same place. For he is not going to get halfway down into the clouds and say, you know, I wonder where I should be going now. For he knows that Israel is our home. We've prayed it for years. I grew up as a Southern Baptist. I was, and then I got saved. I was in a Nazarene church, Assembly of God, charismaniac, all over the place. You know, we all pray. We have something in common. It's called the Disciples' Prayer. I learned it as the Lord's Prayer. Your kingdom come and your will be done. Well, where is the kingdom coming to? It is coming to Israel. And I do not believe that Israel has been replaced and is now in Independence, Missouri, is in Springfield, Missouri, is in Nashville, Tennessee. But Israel is Israel. And yes, the people Israel. We are scattered all over the nations right now. But we live in an exciting time. We live in prophetic time in which the Father is bringing forth his word in our day. And he is answering the prayer of Yeshua who said, may they be one. Who is he talking about? He wasn't talking about the Baptists and the Methodists and the Assembly of God and whoever else. He was talking about his family, Israel, coming back together. Now, when I went to Israel in 1998, I did not understand that I was even part of Israel. I thought back then that I was Southern Baptist and charismatic and Pentecostal and all these things. And it wasn't until later that I actually figured out that that was my home. I grew up singing, and I loved the days of my Assembly of God church, and we'd sing, I'll Fly Away, O Glory. And, you know, everybody will be happy over there. And I got a mansion over the hillside. Come to find out, we're not going to be in the heavens. We're going to be in Israel. For when Messiah returns, he is coming to Israel. And you and I are going to be with him. As followers of Yeshua, we will be part of that kingdom being in the literal land of Israel. You know, there's a lot of talk today about the end times, and Mark is, as you know, I got kind of coined there for a little while as Messianic Survivor Man, and I backed off a lot of the preparation teaching because what I found, maybe it was the way I was saying it, I don't know, but many people weren't getting it, that it was about the spiritual preparedness. It wasn't just about the bug-out bag and all these things. It was about preparing ourselves spiritually to meet the King. And so there's talk today about the end times, about the greater Exodus, and all of these things. But what's it about in the end? It's about a destination, and that destination is Israel. That destination is Jerusalem. I was very honored this year to be in Israel with some very good friends of mine, Ephraim and Ramona Frank. I'm sure that many people out there know those names. They are some of the pioneers. Many of us stand on the shoulders of people like Ephraim and Ramona Frank and the work that they did in blazing this trail today. We were there at it was called the B'nai Yosef Congress. And in the first session, we broke up into roundtable discussions, and Ramona Frank was sitting next to me at my table. And she made a statement that has just stayed with me all since May of this year. The statement is this: without Israel as our destination, we are destined to become just another denomination wandering around in the wilderness. Think about that, folks. Without Israel as our destination. See, the greater Exodus is not our destination. Thank God. Oklahoma is, in the end, not my destination. My destination is Israel. And it is not just because I have a love for the land, but it is because of the one who is going to be there when we get there. In Isaiah chapter 2, the song we've sang for many years, we've danced to it. Some people have danced to it. I don't dance real well. But in Isaiah chapter 2, verse 2, in the last days, the mountain of Yahweh's house will be established as the most important mountain. It will be regarded more highly than the other hills, and all the goyim will stream there. Many peoples will go and say, come, let us go to the mountain of Yahweh, to the house of the Elohim of Yaakov. He will teach us about his ways. We will walk in his paths, for out of Zion will go forth Torah, the word of Yahweh from Yerushalayim. He will judge between the nations and arbitrate for many peoples. Then they will hammer their swords into plow blades, their spears into pruning hooks. Nations will not rise against their swords at each other, and they will no longer learn any war. There is coming a day in which, Mark, I'm sorry to tell you this, but this program at this time of year will not be needed, because in that day there will be no masks being sold. There will be no trick-or-treating. There will be no Christmas trees in the stores, because the Torah will be in that day. The Torah will be the standard for all nations to live by. And those who are in Israel, the nation of Israel, the people of Israel, will be there with the King of Israel. You know, yeah, I got on the chat room, I've got Hallelujah and Baruch Hashem, and we could go on and on with that one forever. But folks, what do we do between now and then? What responsibility do we have to the land and the people of Israel today? That's something that many people are not considering. For I told you that I've been in congregations, I've been around people lately that I have found are a bit anti-Semitic, that are about a bit anti-Israel. Is there really any difference in a person who is anti-Israel and a person that is apathetic to Israel? Well, it may be an emotional difference, but neither one are going to get anything done for the reestablishment of this kingdom. A quote, a man that's many people have been quoting lately, and I cut my mail off. I got to bring it back up. I had to get Daniel to send this to me because he's the one that remembers all the quotes for me. A man named Dietrich Bonhoeffer. He was a Christian pastor that was in Germany during the time of the Second World War. And he had actually fled from Germany or was outside of Germany. I don't exactly remember the details of this. But he made a decision to go back to Germany. And people said, why are you doing that? You're living in freedom. You're living in safety. Why would you go to Germany during this time and risk your life. Dietrich Bonhoeffer said this, "I shall have no right to participate in the reconstruction of Christian life in Germany after the war if I do not share the trials of this time with my people." Let me put it into the context for us today. I shall have no right to participate in the kingdom of Yahweh in Israel after this war if I do not share the trials of this time with my people. Are we today apathetic to Israel? There is happening all around us, the scriptures of Zechariah, that all nations shall come against Jerusalem. Now, I've heard people, people have had these little flags that are, it's an Israel flag and an American flag. Because America will always stand with Israel, right? Was that happening today? Absolutely not. Over the last few years, I've had people say, but Canada is going to stand with Israel. Did you see the election the other day? As Canada took a 180-degree turn. New Zealand, of all places, is bringing forth a resolution against Israel. New Zealand. Now, what right does New Zealand have to say anything about what is happening in Israel today? I would say absolutely none. But they are saying that there should be a building freeze in Israel, because those buildings are what is what's causing the problems in Israel. Wouldn't it be amazing if Israel came to the table at the United Nations in a meeting and said, "We would like New Zealand to have a building freeze"? People would think that's ridiculous. What right does Israel have to say anything about New Zealand? Well, what does any country have a right to say about a land which the creator of the universe says is his? Years ago, I had an awesome opportunity to meet for just a quick meeting, about a 30-45 minute meeting with the man who is now the prime minister of Israel, Bibi Netanyahu. And it was one of those times that I was sitting there wondering how in the world somebody from Florida that just graduated from high, just almost didn't graduate from high school, was sitting there talking to Bibi Netanyahu. And he was talking, and this was actually prior to Ariel Sharon's administration, or it may have been during that time. And I remember talking to Mr. Netanyahu, and somebody saying something about the giving up of land, the two-state solution, and all of a sudden out of my mouth I heard these words, "But sir, it is not your land to give away. It belongs to God." Security guards got a little nervous about that time, and I did too. But the truth is, that land is no one's to give away, because that land belongs to Yahweh himself. Well, what are we doing today? What are we doing actively? Paul Neeson was talking about, what are you doing actively to get the gospel out? Well, what are we doing actively regarding Israel? In the time I have, I'd like to go through a few things that we can do today. Number one is, in accordance with the scripture of Psalm 122, verse 6, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May they prosper who love you. Now, I've heard a lot of prosperity messages through the years of, you know, if you'll give me $10, God will give you back $100. Doesn't work. I've tried it. But I tell you that there is a prosperity message that needs to be preached from the gospel, from the rooftops, Paul Neeson, and it is this: pray for the shalom of Yerushalayim. Now, folks, how do we do that? Okay? How do we pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Does this mean that we should be praying that Bibi Netanyahu has great wisdom? Well, yes, we could, but, you know, man's track record at ending this argument that's been going on all the way back to Ishmael, our track record is not too good. You look at Ariel Sharon, Ehud Barak, Bibi Netanyahu, one after another after another. And we're farther down the road, away from peace. So to continue to just pray that this leader, that America, you know, well, if the Republicans can just get back in the White House, we can go forth with the peace process. I don't think it's going to work. For there will only be one who will bring peace to the city of peace who has never had peace, and that is the Prince of Peace, Sar Shalom Yeshua himself. So when I pray for the peace of Jerusalem, what I am praying is in accordance the same thing that Yochanan prayed when he was on the Isle of Patmos, after he saw the horrendous things of the tribulation. After he saw the destruction, after he saw the carnage, what did he say in the end? Come quickly, Yahweh Yeshua. Come quickly, Yahweh Yeshua. The way that we should be praying for the peace of Jerusalem is this: Yahweh, would you return? Return to the land. In fact, I want to go over to some verses in Isaiah. And I want to go to Isaiah chapter 63. Now, I come at this thing from the scripture of Isaiah 56:6, the foreigner who has joined themselves to Yahweh. I teach on Ezekiel 37, but because of all the stuff that goes along and people arguing all the time, I'm just the foreigner. I'm just the mutt. I'm just the one that has no right to be here. And you know, there's a prayer that has been given to us, those of us who are grafted in, those of us who are adopted into this family. There is a prayer that goes along with Psalm 122, verse 6, and it is found in Isaiah chapter 63, starting in verse 15. And it says this: Look down from heaven and see, from your glorious holy dwelling, where are your zeal and your mighty deeds, your inner concern and compassion? Don't hold back, for you are our Father. Even if Abraham were not to know us and Israel were not to acknowledge us. Now I want to stop right there. If Abraham were to walk into most of our homes today in Kansas, how ironic would that one be, or in Oklahoma, or in Johannesburg, or in London, or wherever, he would see most of us that are here today that are, you know, we don't look a lot like him. We don't look Jewish. Yeah, we got some tzitzit on, but we don't look like his seed. He would not know us. And Israel were not to acknowledge us. Today, you and I can get on a plane, as God willing, I'm going to be doing on Sunday, and going to Israel. I can go to the Ministry of Interior, or whichever ministry it is. I don't even know which one I'd have to go to. But I can go, and I can say, hey, guys, I follow Torah probably better than most of the Israelis, especially the ones in Tel Aviv. I'm grafted in. I'm a follower of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And you know what they'd say? In 30 days, when your visa's up, get back on the plane and go back home. Because they do not acknowledge us. So this is a prayer that is being spoken by us unto him. So with that, I want to go back into these verses and read them again. Look down from heaven and see, from your holy glorious dwelling, where are your zeal and your mighty deeds, your inner concern and compassion. Don't hold back. For you are our Father. Even if Abraham were not to know us and Israel were not to acknowledge us, you, Yahweh, are our Father. Our Redeemer of old is your name. Yahweh, why do you let us harden, or why do you let us wander from your ways and harden our hearts so that we do not fear you? Return, see that word? Return for the sake of your servants, the tribes who were your possession. Your holy people held your sanctuary such a short time before our adversaries trampled it down. For so long we have been like those you never ruled, like those who were not called by your name. We wish you would tear open heaven and come down so the mountains would shake at your presence. A very good Jewish term right here. May it be soon, and may it be in our day. The prayer for Israel, the prayer for Jerusalem, the prayer for him to walk the streets once again. Mark, I'm going to ask you if you'd cue that up. I've got a song that I sent to Mark this morning. It's from a very good friend of mine, Barry Phillips. And some of you know him. He has a website, Remnant of Israel, and that's Y-I-S-R-A-E-L, remnantofisrael.com. And so it's called O Jerusalem. And Mark, how about putting that up for us? Amen. Thank you, Mark. You prayed that. And that is from Barry Phillips. And we're going to put Mark and Barry in touch with each other and see if we can get some of Barry's music on. It's a very unique style. Why should we pray for the peace of Jerusalem? Is it that we're going to change Jerusalem? I really don't think so. What prayer does is it changes us. And when we pray for the peace of Jerusalem, it begins to change our attitude. I witnessed this on this past Sukkot. As we went into Sukkot, and it's a time of joy, it's a time that we're to come together. We are to celebrate in the presence of Yahweh. But there were some verses that really stuck with me this Sukkot. And it was in Psalm 137. By the rivers of Babylon, we sat down and wept. As we remembered Zion, we had hung up our lyres, our harps, and the willows that were there. The willows. Now, is that a reference to Sukkot? That it was during this time of Sukkot that this psalm was actually written? I don't know. On the willows that were there, when those who had taken us captive asked us to sing them a song, our tormentors demanded joy from us. Sing us one of the songs from Zion. And the response, how can we sing a song about Yahweh here on foreign soil? If I forget you, Yerushalayim, may my right hand wither away. May my tongue stick to the roof of my mouth if I fail to remember you. If I fail to count Yerushalayim the greatest of all my joys. There was, during this Sukkot, it was a feeling of mixed emotions. Yes, there was a joy that was there as we were spending time with friends. We had times of worship. We had times of teaching. But for me, there was a bit of a bitterness at the same time because I'm on a foreign soil. How can we sing the songs of Zion here on a foreign soil if I forget you, Jerusalem? You know, there's some verses. There's so many things that are being said these days about the end times, what is coming. And I found some verses the other day I want to share with you out of Psalm 102. And it says in verse 12 or 13, depending on your translation, but you, Yahweh, are enthroned forever. Your renown will endure through all generations. You will arise and take pity on Zion, for the time has come to have mercy on her. For the time determined has come. For your servants love her very stones. They take pity even on her dust. The nations will fear the name of Yahweh, and all the kings on earth your glory. When Yahweh has rebuilt Zion and shows himself in his glory, when he has heeded the plea of the poor and not despised their prayer, may this be put on record for a future generation. May a people yet to be created praise Yahweh. Wow. Think about it. You want to have mercy? For a time has come to have mercy. One of the ways to have mercy shown upon you in the last days, it says, to love the very stones and take pity even on the dust of Jerusalem. I wish I could do this for everyone, and I kind of hesitate to even put this out, but I have a very dear lady who has been a partner with Joined to Hashem for a little while now. She's in a very difficult place. She's the only one. It's not in America. It's in a different country. And she is the only one in that area that she has that is in any way following Torah. And she emailed me the other day and said, Mike, could you please just send me the smallest stone? Mail me a stone from Jerusalem. Well, I can tell you that will be done. Every year on Passover, what we do is I don't put the boiled egg on the Passover plate. I have a stone from Jerusalem. You know, prayer changes us. It changes our priorities. It changes us into people that begin to love what Yahweh loves. For if we do not love what he loves, we will end up loving what he hates. We will love what he despises. We need to get the mind of Messiah. And that is what prayer is about. It is not him lining up himself with us, which that doesn't need to happen. It is about us lining ourselves up with him. The land of Israel is a land that he says he never takes his eyes off of throughout the year. His eyes are always upon that land. It is a place that it is said, and I tend to agree with this, even though I wasn't there and nobody listening to me was either. But it is said that the Temple Mount is where Yahweh took the dirt to make Adam and Eve. It is there that Messiah will return and set up his kingdom. What are we doing along the way? What are we doing to in our part as we pray? What is it changing in us? Is it changing our focus? One of the things that we have been honored to do is to give to Israel for many years. I'm just going to say it like this, but I've gone to a lot of places that you can go through the whole Shabbat service and there's no mention of Israel. There's no mention of giving to the needy of Israel. There was a post on the chat room here a little while ago talking about Itamar. Itamar is a place that we have supported through the years. There's other places in Israel because I want to do something which is to love and bless. Open up this avenue. How can we possibly be a part of the reconciliation? How can we possibly be a part of the two sticks coming back together? How can we possibly be a part of the prayer of Yeshua that they may be one? If we're not building bridges with our brothers and sisters, the Jewish people, there's a parable of the prodigal son. And it talks about when the prodigal son went away, and he comes home. He goes and he repents to the father. But go back and read it, folks. There is no reference given that the prodigal son ever repented to the older brother. Now think about the scenario. The prodigal son said to the father, I want to take my inheritance and I just, sell everything and give him my inheritance. And he went off and it says he squandered it away. That inheritance, part of the inheritance was part of the father's land. And so part of the land that was to be owned by the prodigal son was sold. Probably the people that bought it put up a trailer park. And every morning, every day, the older brother would get up, he would walk outside, and he would have to see what had been done with the property that had been the inheritance of his younger brother. Bitterness? Resentment? Yes. The prodigal son comes walking back in. He's repented of his pagan ways. He's no longer doing the Christmas tree. He has thrown away the ornaments. He still has a little pig on his breath. He comes back in. He repents to the father. But there's no repentance to the older brother. See, the scriptures of Romans chapter 11 says that we are to provoke Israel to jealousy. We are to provoke the Jewish people to jealousy. Well, I can tell you, in working for a number of years with Jewish people in Israel, we have provoked them to a lot of things. Jealousy is not one of them. And I wish that I could just say, Well, that's just the church. But it's not. This whole argument that is going on around these—that's going around these days of how do you pronounce the name and which calendar is it and all of these things—you know what that is to the Jewish people? It's the prodigal son coming back in and saying, "Well, you've been wrong all the time in the Father's house. We have it right." Just a little bit of arrogance. What do you think? So, what are we doing today? We're opening up dialogue. One of the reasons, besides he's a dear brother, and I have actually had people be, and if you don't know Hanuk Young, he is an Orthodox Jew. He grew up in the Bronx or somewhere in New York. I don't know New York real well. Sorry, Paul. I'm from the South. He grew up in New York. 6 years ago, he made Aliyah. He moved to Israel. This man is reaching out to us. And it's amazing how many people are reaching out to him, not with an open hand, but with a closed fist. How many places that he has had people come to him and say, "Well, you're not pronouncing the name right. You Jews don't even know where the Temple Mount was." Just a little bit of arrogance here. You know, we can either begin to talk to one another, or we can continue to do the same thing we've been doing for 1700 years. How's that been working out for us? Not very well, I would say. We live in an incredible day. The Father has so honored us to be able to be alive right now. Just 10 years ago, we would have never even imagined, 15 years ago, we would have never imagined Lamb Radio, Hebrew Nation Radio. We would have never imagined the Hebrew Roots Network. But today, we have all of these things available. We have all of these things available to proclaim the true gospel, the true good news of Messiah, that his kingdom is coming, that his kingdom is coming to the earth, and that kingdom is not void of Torah. What are we complaining? What are we arguing about? We're arguing about how to say a name, what calendar, when is the new moon, and of course, I understand that whatever you do is right. Really? A people that not too many years ago were sitting down at Denny's to a pork breakfast don't need to be walking in arrogance these days. We need to be walking in a little bit more or a lot more humility. So what are we doing? It's got a couple minutes left. Is Israel on your prayer list? Is Israel something that you're praying for every single day? Are you praying that your Jewish brothers and sisters would cling to Yahweh and then leave the how they're going to cling, how they're he's going to bring them to that place? Leave that up to him. I don't need to be correcting anybody today except for myself. In fact, there's a verse in, I believe it's in Isaiah, that says that as he brings us to himself, that he is going to do the correction. Now, what does it look like in a family? Think about your own family. Yahweh has he has order in our family. He has set up order from the very beginning in Adam and Eve. And today we should be walking in the same kind of order. Well, what is it like in a family when the children start correcting everybody? What do you have? 21st century America, right? You have chaos. You have a mess. We need to be allowing the Father to do the correcting, spending more time getting him to correct us than us trying to correct everybody else. What should we be doing? Plan a trip to Israel. I don't. It doesn't matter if you go with me, you go with Rico. There's so many people out there that are going to Israel. But don't go on a tour that's going to show you the Christian sites, that's going to show you the Catholic churches. Go on a tour that's going to connect you with the land. It's going to connect you with the God of the land. And it's going to connect you with the people of the land. This is one of the ways that you can have an effect on Israel. And not everybody, I know, not everybody can go. We have one of our people that is going with us. It's part of a congregation. I won't tell you which state they're in. But I was there speaking, and I was sharing this about the about people needing to go to Israel. I said, not everybody here can go, but send a delegate from your congregation. By the end of the service, they had a person that they had selected, and that person's going to be on our tour. The people came together, they raised the money, and that person is going to be going on the tour. I had another lady that called and said, I'm getting too old. I can't go to Israel. I wish I could go. Mike, I know that you have people that you're taking. Could I help in sending them to Israel? One of the people that I have going is because of this lady's donation. Do you have a desire to go to the land? Or are you going to be like the lady I heard not too long ago that said, well, I guess when Messiah comes, I'll go, but until then, I really don't care. Is that the attitude we want to have toward his house, toward his neighborhood? I really don't think I'd want to be standing on the day of judgment with that kind of attitude toward a place that he calls his home. There's all kinds of things you can do today, folks. When I started this journey in 1998 and made a decision to pray for the peace of Jerusalem, to love and bless the Jewish people, to aid in the restoration of Israel, and to provoke to jealousy, I didn't even know a Jewish person. I was pastoring a Southern Baptist Charismatic Pentecostal church in a crabbing community in North Florida. You don't have a lot of Jews coming to a crabbing community to buy crabs. I didn't know a single Jew, but our little congregation, we decided this is what we were going to do. Within a week of making that commitment, I was in a Christian bookstore checking out, and a lady saw a ring on my finger that I had bought in Israel that had a Mogen David. And she said, where did you get that? I said, I just came back from Israel. She started crying. She said, I'm Jewish. She said, is there any way that you could help us to begin a congregation, a Messianic congregation in Tallahassee, Florida? I said, yes, we'd be glad to. And with that, we met our first Jew. The rest is history. As I prepare right now to go on trip number 24 to Israel and be followed around by a man standing on deck, Rico Cortez, who I just saw in the chat room is waiting impatiently. Anybody that thinks Rico Cortez is waiting patiently doesn't know Rico Cortez. So with that, Mark, are you there? Hello, Mark.
I'm there, but I never said he was waiting patiently. I said he's in the hallway.
You said he's standing in the hall waiting to come in.
That's right.
And you and I know that Rico Cortez is not patient about anything, and the very fact that he's got to follow me through around Israel is getting to him even right now.
Okay. All right. Let's just ask Rico about that. What do you think?
Hey, that's, Mr. Cortez.
Wait, hold up. He's still bubbling there. He's on his way. He's been giving me a hard time in the Skype text, so I'm...
Not Rico.
Yeah, Rico. So
Rico wouldn't get any, but...
You tell him that.
Hey, Rico.
Hey, Mike. What up?
Hey, are you you ready to follow me around Israel?
Yeah, man, I want to go on over there and learn some good stuff from you, man.
Hey, I'm sorry, brother. You're going to be in Jerusalem the day that I leave, man.
Oh, man, that's too bad. I get to miss you.
I know. It's that's okay. We'll kind of we'll do the Yochanan, the immersion thing. We'll just, you know, prepare the way for you, okay?
Okay. Unfortunately, I mean, I'm happy that I'm not the Messiah, because I don't think I'll be able to do the same job.
You know, listen, Rico, brother, hey, Rico, listen, yeah. Don't take this wrong, but I'm happy you're not the Messiah, too.
Oh, hey, you don't understand. I'm happy I'm not the Messiah.
I bet the Messiah doesn't talk that fast. What do you think?
I would have, like, eliminated everybody out of the face of the map.
yeah, I know. Well, hey, I've seen your itinerary. You're going to be in some great places, and you know, maybe we can connect and at least talk on the phone while you're there. But if I was wearing a hat, my hat's off to you for the people that are going with you during this time. It's a very there's been so many things that have been happening there. There's been stabbings in just the last couple of days. In right there at Beit El and various places that we'll be in. And I'm not concerned for our safety. What is my concern is that we find every divine appointment that Yahweh has for us. And I'd pray that for you too, brother.
Amen.
Oh, man, same here, brother. I mean, I'm not afraid, bro. You know, now is when we have to stand for Israel more than ever.
Yes.
Amen. You know, and that's the one thing that we need to do is stand up for it. And the best statement we can make is just by going over there and showing them that even though they're giants in the land, we're not going to be afraid because our God is greater.
Yeah, well, I just spent the last hour talking about that very thing, that it has to be our focus in these days, because Messiah is returning, and he's not returning to Washington, D.C.
Oh, that's for sure.
Yeah, that's or Puerto sure. Rico.
Hey, thank God, because Puerto Ricans, I don't know about that.
Hey, Mark, thank you so much. It's been a great honor tonight, and pray that you guys are blessed the rest of time. I wish I could spend more time on, but I'm going to have a little bit of airplane time in the next couple days to do, actually starting on Sunday. So may the Father bless you guys the rest of the time in prayer, proclamation, and praise.
Amen, brother. We love you, man. Be good.
Love you.
Thank you so much, Mike.
Thank you.
Shabbat shalom, my friend.
Shabbat shalom, brother.